You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.
Thank you very much to the lovely crew at Drake Street Studios. Great place to go get your music recorded very nicely. Kia ora, Kirsten. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. I am waking up.
Yes, I think Friday morning, the light's changing. It's getting a little bit cooler. We're all sort of like adjusting a little bit.
Is it cooler? Okay, so it is cooler.
Yeah.
I'm feeling cooler and okay, I haven't checked whether it's my imagination. Okay.
No, it's not just your imagination. Hey, we're talking mallet percussion today. Specifically, what does that mean when we are discussing this?
Well, to get a little nerdy, so there's literally a field of music called organology, which is the sort of trying to classify instruments. So it's something that it's a percussion that uses a beater.
Okay.
Usually we'd think about it with mallet in your hand, but we've got a slightly different one this morning. So like today we're having xylophone, glockenspiel, and celesta.
Ooh.
So an idiophone, okay, to start off with. So there's chordophones, membranophones. So chordophones is like strings, aerophones is like flute. But so these are idiophones, which is a lot of percussion are, which is where the thing itself vibrates.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to like the string,
yes,
or the membrane, or there's membranophones. And so idiophones can be struck or shaken, maracas or something. But we're also now using ones that have a mallet on the idiophone, if that makes sense.
It does. So that's why a drum wouldn't necessarily count, even though technically you have a mallet and you're hitting that. That's a membrane that's moving.
That's right. That's membranophone.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so, I
but
see.
But some drums, you know, like log drums, or you know, wouldn't be. They would be idiophones again.
Interesting.
It's a little unfortunate name, idiophones. But it's part of drummers getting a bad reputation.
Good band name if anyone wants it.
Oh, you're so right.
I love this song.
Okay, so this, you can hear it very clearly, is an actual xylophone. So the xylophone is made with wood.
It's really going for it in this bit. I always feel like the xylophone has a slightly goofy/sneaky sound to
sneaky.
It.
It does.
You know?
Yeah, I'm getting like little skeletons.
Totally.
You know, dancing. But it is. It's used a lot in children's music, but it's also used in orchestras, a lot in Asia and Africa. But also in this song is something called a transophone.
A transophone?
It's so weird.
What is it?
They've just put a big metal bucket over the snare drum.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's
sounds like,
so cool.
Sounds like
that. Is that what that snare sound is?
Yes. Yep.
Ah.
So this is 1983, Violent Femmes. Yeah, it really does sound like skeletons. Gone, Daddy, Gone.
Can you just imagine a little cartoon skeleton doing like a scuttling motion to that, you
yeah.
know?
On the xylophone, you know, plinking it with his feet.
Literally. Or plinking his ribcage, you know?
Yes. So, you know, adding a xylophone is part of what, you know, the Violent Femmes and this sort of indie alternative sort of bands were doing at this time. You know, sort of still keeping the small, intimate band, but, you know, playing a little with experimental things.
And also that, I mean, there's a strong sort of folk through line in a lot of what Violent Femmes does, and that, I don't know, would you say it's a folk instrument?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because folk is definitely about sort of home and in the neighborhood and hanging out with people. And,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's why xylophones are used, you know, say, and you know, any non-electrical spaces, you know, like orchestras, community orchestras.
Yes, beautiful girl, love the dress. But where she is now, I can only guess, 'cause it's gone, daddy, gone.
Anyone who who's ever thought they could be the percussionist in the school orchestra for absolutely no reason at all, talking about myself here, and has had a crack at playing the xylophone, it's so hard, like, to be really good. I mean, this is such an obvious thing to say. It's so hard to be good at an instrument. But, you know, you sort of are like, I can make that noise, ping pong, ping pong.
A thingy thingy.
But it's pretty impressive when you can see someone shred on the xylophone.
And they're quite big, and it's so quite physical, like with your arms to sort of get across this instrument. Now this is Radiohead, No Surprises, 1998, from OK Computer. Oh, there you go, there's the glockenspiel.
I was just like, I don't remember there being a...
Yeah, it's not as obvious as the other one.
I think it's
paralleling the guitar.
Totally. Interesting instruments, these ones, because they have such a singular sound that it's quite hard to use them in a way that's perhaps unexpected without it sounding novel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and not a little bit goofy, like, you know, the other track is cool as it was.
Yeah, but there is a sort of intentional goofiness to that song, whereas this one, it's got that dreamlike...
It adds to the world rather than
it
being
does.
The...
Exactly, Stella. So the glockenspiel, what makes the glockenspiel different from the xylophone?
It's metal bars, so it's a metallophone.
Okay.
It's a pitched aluminium bar, so they're pitched bars, and you have to hit each different bar. And you hear it sounds like a lullaby, and so that's what
totally.
Is adding so lovely to this track.
It's interesting because there was also a movement in the 90s of people using toy instruments in a lot of indie music, which has, you know, like toy pianos and stuff that have a pretty similar sound to a glockenspiel. Again, in a slightly gimmicky way, but also because there is a really singular noise you get from that type of evocative plinky-plunky type of instrumentation.
And what they're doing, they're taking that childlike lullaby sound and contrasting it with like super depressing lyrics.
Classic Radiohead.
And the other big users of this is the Beach Boys. You can hear that very much.
Of course. And the Beach Boys is another space where it feels completely natural to hear a glockenspiel.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't stick out.
Got a question. Oh, sorry to interrupt. Got a couple of questions. Would a football hooligan clacker be an idiophone and a steel pan drum? Do they count?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
And so the steel pan is a metallophone. And so instead of, so the glockenspiel, you have to hit a separate bar for tunes. Steel pan, actually, we should do that again. I think I've done it once years ago.
I'd be happy to do a steel pan. I love the steel pan.
Yeah, me too. What I was going to say is they're used in orchestras, and I guess having the metal, you know, that it can stand out. And marching bands.
They'll totally.
They'll carry them and hit them, and they look good.
They do. And they cut through as well. They really cut through that sound without needing too much amplification. I guess because you can recreate a lot of these sounds super easily on synthesizers and stuff now, drum pads or whatever.
Very true.
It's really cool to see a band actually whip one out on stage. I'm always like, oh, I'm pretty sure Princess Chelsea has had either, I think it was a glockenspiel maybe on stage with her of recent times.
That tracks.
Maybe I've just invented that because it feels right. Someone fact check me.
You'd have to have access and bring it with you. And because you're playing usually just one melody line, it is something that either the percussionist or the keyboardist can sort of pick up and do.
Yeah.
But like you said, still hard, still difficult.
Yeah, the xylophone in the Gone Daddy Gone track, that's very impressive. Like, you could just imagine anyone having a crack at the bit in this Radiohead track, but that...
Yeah, that's a virtuoso.
Big time. Will surely come my way. Oh, I had to stop myself from doing the haze into the microphone then. No one needs to hear that.
For anyone that is interested, the percussion sound is knees, hands on knees.
Oh, true. So what can we hear in the background here, Kirsten?
This is a celesta, which weirdly enough, looks like a piano. And at first I thought, oh no, this isn't. But instead of, you know, inside, if you've ever taken a piano apart and looked inside, well, you just lift the lid, it's hitting strings. Well, the Celesta has metal bars.
Right.
And wooden resonators and little hammers inside there. So, which is why it counts as a mallet. Ooh.
That's so interesting. I never realized this wasn't a glockenspiel. So do you play it with keys then?
Yeah, it looks like a little, it looks like a piano.
Cool.
And Celesta, you know, means celestial, heavenly. And it was played by the producer's wife. So yeah, I don't know how they played this on stage. I doubt they brought one of those around.
I feel like it has more reverb than a glockenspiel.
Yeah, yeah, because it has the, that's literally correct. It's the wooden box of the piano, which is the resonator.
Nice observation.
Yes.
Okay, Chelsea definitely does play the glockenspiel. I haven't just invented that. Someone says they bought one 20 years ago, still can't really play it, but Chelsea has definitely mastered it. Brunettes also had good glockenspiel in that same kind of lineage of sound.
Well, the Celesta too. Bruce Springsteen's played it, Sheryl Crow, Sigur Rós. Ooh.
Country folks. Well, maybe not Sigur Rós.
Willy Wonka, Imagination.
Oh, of course.
Is Celesta.
Does anyone else find that song a little bit creepy?
I think it's the Gene Wilder.
And also the Harry Potter score uses them a bit too.
Oh, so, of course.
Yes.
I mean, it does have this sort of magical, fantastical sound to it. It's like putting a little sparkle on your track or something, you know?
Yeah. So we've had Bones, Creepy Lullaby, and Sparkle.
Somebody else has said Carnivorous Plant Society always give me extreme instrument and musical artistry envy. They are good on a mallet percussion instrument. You can see them this Sunday at the Kalmana Festival for free as well, just FYI. Dead Can Dance using the hammered dulcimer. What's the hammered dulcimer, Kirsten? Is that...
Well, dulcimers have strings.
Okay, so... not an idiophone.
That's right, but it would, you know, I guess you could still call it a mallet or a hammer, I guess. So, yeah, you're right, it would be both. It could qualify too. When I picked it, I didn't realize we would have to get so finicky about it.
Hey, we're nerds out here on the BFM community. Thank you very much for bringing us some hammered and malleted idiophones this morning. Remind us, just so I can cement it in my brain, what is the exact definition of an idiophone?
With the instrument itself, the bit of wood or the metal is what's making the sound.
Okay, I'm going to remember that. Thank you very
not
much.
Not the resonator. Okay.
Not the resonator. I got you. Hey, have a lovely rest of your morning, Kirsten. Thanks for chatting with us.
All
we'll
right.
See you next week.
Okay, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.